The after party starts
right now. Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of The After Party. My name is Will, and with me, as 99.9% of the time, is the one and only Nate from the Gamers Guild. What's happening, dude?
Not much, man. 99%. Like, I just one time I'm gone and it all just goes downhill.
Exactly. Well, I can no longer say with me as always. Like, I literally it's can't true. Say that now.
It's true.
I would be a liar then, and that wouldn't be good. So, Nate, I'm really glad that we're able to get back on track with the after party here, because it's been a little bit, because we've had so many reveals, and I am excited today because we have a couple of things to talk about. So, literally, right before we started this podcast today, we got a panel to play for Mr. Sinister, so we're going to go through that a little bit, and then also, we're going to talk about the kingpin of crime himself, Wilson Fisk.
All right.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this. And one other thing I've got to do real quick before we dive into the actual topics here is I've got to say thank you to all the suits out there who listen to this podcast, because I just got a notification from our hosting site that we crossed 50,000 downloads across all of House Party Protocol content. Like, that's just amazing. And I just really appreciate everyone out there who is listening. Like, that's just so cool, you know? And I can't even believe it. I can't even believe it. Y'all are awesome. So thank you very much for that. And without further ado, is it ado or adieu? I don't know.
You're asking somebody who doesn't care.
That's your valid point. Let's talk about this Mr. Sinister panel to play. And we've seen this model before, but what do you think of this model?
Man, he looks really cool. My critiques here, really there's only one critique. And I really wish, slash maybe even hope, we haven't seen his sprue that I'm aware of, that we actually have his right leg, and it's not just in the smoke vat.
Yeah.
Because at least with my Loki, I sculpted him without the ice. So I had to green stuff him a little foot, which is easy enough. And I can, my meager skills can do that. I have extreme doubts in myself, though, of being able to pull off an entire leg that actually looks good.
Right, yeah. Everything from the calf down is going to be suspect for sure. So I think that's probably what most people's criticism of the model would be. Like, I think it looks cool, and I'm personally all about like this. I think it's really neat for the character, so I'm on board with it, but I totally understand that frustration with there not potentially being a leg there. I have a feeling there's not a leg there. I don't know. I don't have any inside information. I just have a feeling.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think that'll be what it is. And then, of course, I'll complain later when I have to paint his cape, because that looks like it'll be an absolute pain to do. But they made the cape what it's supposed to be, so I can't really hold that against them at the same time.
Exactly. Like, I'm with you. It's going to be a pain, but at least it's what it is. You know, like, it is supposed to have all those different frills and pieces and stuff. Now. Yep. Real talk, though, are you going to give him, like, the goatee that he has currently, like, in the comic run, or are you going to do, like, just the old school, like, little chin hair thing?
Probably more the little soul patch thing he has going on than the full goatee.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go goatee. I don't know. I kind of like it. Anyways, let's talk about this panel to play. So, we have some interesting information. It actually doesn't seem to contain a lot. You know, most of these don't contain a ton of information, but this one doesn't contain particularly a lot here. But we see that he has a unique resource called genetic samples. And it sounds like he can hold up to a maximum of three of them. Yeah, up to a maximum of three genetic sample tokens. And we don't really know what all he can do with them, but he has a very specific way of getting them. And that is what sounds like his builder attack, which, Nate, sounds pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, a beam 4 mystic attack as a builder, if it's even close in similarity to what we've seen on Enchantress or Vision, it's going to be a really powerful ability.
Yeah, and after I said the word builder, I didn't realize that it actually doesn't say his builder on it. So I'm curious if this is maybe like a gain of power and a genetic token attack. You know what I mean? Like, I think that that would probably be the way to do it instead of equal to damage dealt. Because it does say the genetic splicing attack is his primary method for doing so, and that is referencing getting the genetic samples.
Yeah, no, you're right. For some reason, I stopped at method of doing so, I guess, and just thought it was his primary attack.
Right, so...
Okay, so maybe we're looking a little bit more of a Hela claim soul kind of deal.
Yeah, that might make a little more sense. So, either way, though, I think it looks pretty cool, and a range 4 beam mystic is legit.
Regardless, that's going to be good.
So then it talks about how he can do a couple of different things with his genetic sample tokens. Nate, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. So when he has these samples to manipulate, he's able to sacrifice them to restore his own health. He can cripple one of his opponents, which sounds like maybe being able to add a status condition after an attack, maybe, or yeah, just flat out adding a status condition to them. But the big thing that I think people are probably going to be excited for is he can burn those samples to do an area attack. It's going to be a strength 6 mystic attack that hits multiple targets, blah, blah, blah. But the area attack has a range equal to the number of genetic samples he currently has.
I like it.
So since he can have up to a max of 3, this could possibly be a 6-inch area attack.
Yeah, that range 3 area attack would be pretty insane if you think about it. And yeah, then it says if you roll a combination of results, way to be cryptic, AMG. A combination of results. So it sounds like you're going to have like 2 wilds, or maybe a hit in a wild, or a crit a hit in a wild, something crazy like that. And then every character suffers an additional 1 damage, it sounds like.
Yeah. It'll, well, I do think they've told us about the usual amount that we get from these panel to plays. It certainly sounds like his character card is going to have a lot more depth to it, because it's going to be explaining the genetic samples and all the different ways he can use him. So that's at least 2 different attacks that interact with it, at least 1 superpower. So who knows what else his card holds.
Exactly. I'm very excited to see it. And lately, it seems like we've been getting panel to plays, and then like a week later or so, we get the reveal of the card. I kind of hope that holds true.
Yeah, well, if nothing else, next Tuesday, we get to see Scarlet Witch on the table. So we'll probably at least get a little bit of a sneak peek of what she's capable of as well.
Sweet, I can't wait. But now let's pivot and talk about a character that we know what they are capable of. And that is Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin, Nate. And I'm excited to talk about this character because he's one that, while he brings an affiliation to the game and he does some really unique and interesting things, I think he's somewhat been overlooked a little bit. Maybe. In a sense.
Maybe. That's a very big maybe on the overlooked. Because... For me personally, and I guess we'll get into details later, I like him for his leadership, but that's about the only reason I'd be taking him.
I got you, yeah. And, I mean, the reason why I say overlooked, it's mainly because of the kind of dominance in the broader conversation of Dash Guard and Hired Muscle. I think that Dash Guard and Hired Muscle kind of started popping right about the same time as people were starting to understand Kingpin and Criminal Syndicate. And that's why I think that we've seen a lot less Criminal Syndicate than maybe I thought we would when he was first released. And that's one of the things that I thought before playing any games was that Criminal Syndicate's going to be there. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with I thought that Kingpin would be good, and that the Syndicate as a whole, though, would be a strong affiliation. What about you, mm-hmm. Nate? What did you think before playing any games?
Before getting any games, initial impression, whatever you want to call it, really, really strong leadership ability that can force your opponent to play on your terms, with a little bit of an asterisk there. But that Kingpin himself was just a stout, absolute tank of a character, but that he would have problems doing everything he wants to.
Yeah, and I think that that's a really fair criticism of the character, and it's one of the things that surprised me once I got the games in with Kingpin and subsequently against him as well, is that he is a character that is so scenario dependent, crisis dependent, that if you get a bad combination of crises, it's really a slog for him as a character. Now, you're still going to be happy with what Criminal Syndicate's doing. I mean, counting as two models for the purposes of contesting is great when characters are healthy. Like, that's just, that is pure greatness. So that, you know, that, and that's the biggest part of his leadership. But the fact that he has such a hard time, by and large, getting there, that it makes certain scenarios really difficult for him, because he is as we like to say in this house, a chonk. Because he's got that 7 stamina, he's got that intense physical conditioning, suspending a power to reduce damage suffered by 1, and he's got that 4 physical defense. He's really strong, and he's really hard to take down, but he wants to be in the thick of it. He wants to be up there throwing things, he wants to be using that Hail to the King, but he moves short, even on that 50mm base. It's such a hard thing to deal with. And he doesn't even have any of the tools that another prominent character that I like to talk about has, and that's Venom. Like, Venom at least can attack at range 3 reliably. Like, Kane Laser is a range 3 strength 4 beam attack, which is fine, but it's not particularly good. He doesn't...
Yeah, it's not building you power, it's not doing anything additional. Like, it has the ignore line of sight and no cover, which is cool, but it's not really doing anything for Kingpin.
Exactly. So, he's at a disadvantage to another similar character that has a similar disadvantage, and that's Venom. But Venom has the ability to pull someone towards him. He has the ability to attack at range. And I think that that matters. But what about you, Nate? Like, did anything surprise you once you got the games in with him?
The thing that I think surprised me the most was how much having the wrong secure hurts Kingpin's affiliation.
Yeah, and what do you mean by that? Can you elaborate?
If you have one of those missions where you have to flip the buttons instead of just actually the usual contesting staying on the point, Kingpin's second half of his leadership ability does absolutely nothing for those style of objectives, which is okay, kind of has some cool counterplay and stuff, but it makes the Criminal Syndicate player really want to be able to have priority and or pick secures.
Exactly. And that, I think, is a really underlooked at strategy when you're going against the Criminal Syndicate, is that if you've got something like Origin Bombs as a very good example, the leadership specifically says, additionally, each allied character contesting an objective token counts as 2 healthy characters when determining who is securing the objective. And that's important because certain crises, I don't know exactly which ones, but certain crises make it harder depending on how many enemy characters are close to those objectives.
I think all of them. The Mutant Madman, the Spider Portals, and Deadly Meteors care about how many opponents are contesting those points usually.
Okay, so if you've got a Criminal Syndicate character there, he doesn't count as two for that part of it, which I think is, to your point, makes it to where that most powerful part of their leadership is functionally useless at that point.
Yep. The other half is still cool and to the benefit of the Criminal Syndicate. Even if you get the extracts, you can make sure you get an extract that works with that top half of the leadership ability. But that was what probably caught me off guard the most.
Yeah, for sure. It caught me off guard as well, because I was like, oh, hey, I've got my kingpin over here on this origin bomb. He counts as two. No, 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 says Dikembe Mutombo. You know, like, that definitely happened to me once. But with that,
a throwback.
Yeah, I know, right? But with that being said, I do think that currently in the competitive scene, with the way that you have so much emphasis on the extract tokens, that I think that you could run Criminal Syndicate and feel comfortable getting secures even if you lose the role.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what do you think of that?
Yeah, no, I think there's a pretty good chance of that, since with things like Panic Grips of City and the absolute love of hammers that there is out in the meta space and stuff, that there's still a chance, but I think if you're looking at just some of those like simple basic foundations, a good way to counter Criminal Syndicate play is to make sure you have at least one secure objective in your pile that is the button flipping kind.
Absolutely. I think that we will see more Criminal Syndicate at some point soon, I think, but once we start seeing them, you're exactly right. The hard counter is to choose secures and choose a button flipping secure if possible. Now, that comes with its own problems, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about Kingpin. And Nate, what does Kingpin do well? Because I feel like we've kind of poo-pooed him a little bit here to start.
Very similar to his lesser, kind of like his little brother, Crossbones. Once he's in the thick of something, he begins to shine. At that point, his headbutt, basic attack that has a chance of both pushing and stunning, just it's otherwise a normal strike, but gets a push and a stun on a wild, is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Cane laser, again, cute, probably not necessarily the most optimal thing you want to be doing. Hail to the King is absolutely fantastic. It's a guaranteed throw. Doesn't matter the size, doesn't matter if damage is dealt, just a guaranteed throw short. As well, a guaranteed stagger is fantastic for 3 power, not to mention just 7 dice. And then he's got a 2-power throw, which is of size 3 for medium, which is fantastic.
Absolutely great. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I think that those things are all good. It's just getting there. And the headbutt you mentioned as his standard builder attack, I mean, 2 wild effects on that is just awesome. And then I think the biggest thing is really that throw of size 3 or less to throw medium, only costing you 2 power, provides him with a really strong measure of control that mm-hmm. I think he kind of gets overlooked as having. Is like we think about throws as additional damage pieces, but really they're a really strong form of control, and being able to throw size 3 and only pay 2 power to do it means that there's very few models at this point that are off limits there. And I really like that. And what he does so well to me is hold down a point. Like if you are playing Gamma Shelters, which is the primo number one espresso deluxe perfect always do it crisis for Criminal Syndicate, in my opinion. And if you're playing that, well, Kingpin is going to be amazing on that. He's going to feel really strong because he's going to be able to tank the damage. He's going to be able to put out a good bit of damage. And then also, he's going to be able to control a point even if he's not putting out the damage on a character. He's going to be able to say, oh, you already activated, you moved over here, so you can have two characters to my one character because that's what you have to do. Well, guess what? Now you only have one character again, and I'm taking the point. And that's really strong. But his faults, Nate, and you kind of touched on them, and we've already kind of touched on them a little bit, are just that slow move. It's so not good.
It's the slow move, but also his lack of interaction at further ranges. So we have plenty of characters at this point that are on 50-millimeter bases with a short move, and really they do fine, especially even after just turn one. They begin to get in a groove of sorts. Magneto has his ability to throw terrain long, has a range 3 attack that can move people around to get them closer. You've got Venom, who we've talked about a little bit. All of his attacks are range 3. He has a range 4 web pull. So Venom, even as early as turn 1, could realistically move once if he had an extra powers and the Avengers pull somebody in and can start snacking immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And Kingpin lacks the additional range that you would kind of need for him to have because that short move does limit him a little bit more.
Yeah, and I think you nailed it with that. But let me ask you this, though. Does having a tactics card like Extreme Conditioning, where you get to pay 2 power to move long, does that suddenly make Kingpin more viable? And if you're taking Kingpin, is that even something you want to consider?
It's definitely something to consider. That and, what was it, Extreme Conditioning and Climbing Gear are kind of those two cards that can really help your slower-moving characters.
Right. Climbing Gear costs 3 power, though, I think.
Climbing Gear costs 3 power, but it gives you an automatic free short move, right. And for those wondering, like, why is Extreme Conditioning not just straight-up better, in addition to a free short move that can give you a little bit of wiggle room, 2 short moves on a 50-millimeter base is just a little bit longer than 1 long move on the 50-millimeter base. Mm-hmm. So, gives you a little bit more versatility. So both of those are cards are definitely that are worth looking at. The little bit unfortunate thing for Kingpin, one, the Climbing Gear is outside of his power range, turn 1, and even the Extreme Conditioning, you have to find a way to give him an extra power, whether that's Wong or Advanced R&D or something, because that's really when you want to be able to do that, is the first turn to make him have that impact on the board.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I think, though, that if you're looking at playing Criminal Syndicate and you're looking at playing Kingpin, while I prefer Climbing Gear for reasons like you said, in that it actually gets you a little bit longer of a distance for 2 moves of a short move, it's also a little more expensive. So the ability to have Extreme Conditioning and be able to Advanced R&D over a power to Kingpin and get him moving long to get him to that middle area sooner, I think is very nice and could surprise people. I mean, if you have that, if I'm your opponent and you have that, right, Nate, I'm going to be expecting you to use it on someone like a Kingpin, like a Magneto, like a Venom, like, you know, someone that obviously has a harder time getting there. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be prepared for that. But at the same time, I think that it's a valuable and valid strategy when using this character. And with that, Nate, let's talk about some other strategies when using Kingpin, because I feel like that we can't just talk about Kingpin without talking about the broader Criminal Syndicate as a whole, since he is the leader of that affiliation. And I don't mean talking about it from a character perspective level, but like when you're bringing Kingpin and you're playing the Criminal Syndicate, what does that mean to you if you're playing the Criminal Syndicate? Like what are you trying to achieve?
Yeah, what is the play style kind of a thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are a few things that Kingpin kind of what he's looking for to bring people into his illicit organization or illicit network, if you will. He is looking for durable bodies. He himself is a great example, 14 total stamina, 4-3-3 is his defense line, and he has the ability to spend a power to ignore a point of damage. Very similar to Crossbone, maybe even the exact same as Crossbone, just a different name of, as far as the superpower goes.
Right.
But so he's looking for that kind of for level of durability for people to stay on a point and preferably their healthy side, so that they can take advantage of his leadership ability on those secures. So characters like Crossbones, MODOK is a pretty good example just because he's so durable on that front side of his card. Taskmaster is a great another in affiliation choice. And then once you start looking kind of outside, one of the primary ones, we don't have him yet, but just from how his card reads and the interactions that have been confirmed by Picani, is Deadpool.
Why Deadpool? Because I agree with you. I just want to know what you think of that.
Deadpool, on his injured side, gets to count as a healthy character, mm-hmm. Which then gets to interact with illicit network, letting him count as healthy on both sides, getting to count as two healthy characters on both sides.
Correct. And I am very excited for Deadpool out of affiliation into CS. And right now with Criminal Syndicate, the biggest problem that I feel like that they have had is that you've got these big chunky models that cost a decent point value. And mm-hmm. it's been somewhat limiting in terms of, like, you're always going to play a little bit narrower of a list if you're playing Criminal Syndicate. Like, Kingpin, MODOK, that's 9 points right there.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're playing Gamma and you're playing on 15, I mean, Taskmaster and Bullseye? Like,
Crossbones.
Oh, and Crossbones, there you go. And so, like, that's your options, really, in affiliation? And Taskmaster, I would probably feel better about, but I don't know. It's just, I feel like that when you get some of these other characters that we already have confirmed, like Sin, for example, we don't know what Black Cat's going to be, but there's no way she's a 4, right? So,
yeah.
So, you know, you've got Black Cat in affiliation, you've got Sin coming in affiliation, we know Sin's a 3. I think that there's going to be some nice options going forward for Criminal Syndicate. And
yep.
then, like you said,
less durable, more wide.
Right, exactly. And the only problem is you still have to have Kingpin. And I say problem just because, again, if you're doing button pushing, I think that that's a problem. So, Nate, let's also have this conversation real quick. If your plan is to play Criminal Syndicate, but a secure comes up that is a button push secure, do you feel like having a dual affiliation list, like that's an opportunity to have a dual affiliation list, like maybe Criminal Syndicate and Cabal or something, since there's so much overlap there?
Criminal Syndicate and Cabal, or Criminal Syndicate and Spider Foes
mm-hmm.
is even a solid possibility, since there's a good bit of overlap between the two.
Exactly. And did Mysterio get confirmed as being in Criminal Syndicate?
Yeah, I believe he was on the card before, like, on the actual Kingpin
That's right.
card.
That's but. Right. Because he's not showing on the website, but I'm pretty sure he's in there. It doesn't matter. But yeah, I think a Spider-Foes Criminal Syndicate overlap or Cabal Criminal Syndicate overlap, like, that's an opportunity for you as a player out there to say, okay, here's what I've got to deal with, and since I know I'm going to be doing a button pusher, I know that that's at a disadvantage for what I wanted to do. Well, then here, let me drop Cabal. I still get to use MODOK. And now maybe I use Sin if she's out when this hypothetical situation happens. You know, I think that most of the time that there's kind of this argument or debate, if you will, about single affiliation versus dual affiliation list. And if you're playing casually, just roll up to the table and say, you know what, I'm going to play this, I'm going to play this, I'm going to play this, play this. There you go. Have fun. Do whatever you want to do. But if you're playing in a little more competitive environment, I think my personal preference is to have that dual affiliation roster so that way I have a plan and a contingency for these types of situations that are less than ideal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I really like Criminal Syndicate, though. I think that Criminal Syndicate is something I'm going to start toying with more now. And I'm really excited to do that because I think that there is some unexplored space there. And before we go into what affiliations Kingpin fits into, let's talk about these couple of tactics cards that I think are very important to the Criminal Syndicate discussion. And I think you know the ones I'm talking about, Nate.
Shadow Organization, I believe, is the super stealth.
Yeah.
Where each character at the beginning of the round gets to pay 2, I believe. And then they cannot be targeted by attacks from farther away than range 2.
Right. So we've got Shadow Organization here. And that one's okay. I don't know if I'm playing CS, if I'm going to guarantee taking it. But it is good being able to spend 2 power and then forcing your opponent to have to get closer to be able to target them with an attack. Like, it's not that they get stealth. It's they flat out cannot be targeted by an attack unless that attack is from within range 2.
So super stealth.
It's super stealth. Exactly. And I really like this card. I think that it's very good and it's very situational, though, because you want to be able to do it when you have as many people having that extra power as possible and also outside of that range 2 when you play it to force your opponent to have to get there, which I really like. And I don't think, though, that it is the end-all, be-all of Criminal Syndicate cards.
Well, there's 2 more, one of which is the All According to Plan, which during the power phase, any number of allied Criminal Syndicate characters may spend power to play this card. So kind of unique because you can have multiple people spending power to play it. And if 10 power was spent to play this card, you take the priority token.
I love
that. So basically, this is going to allow you those rare opportunities for the back-to-back activations between rounds.
Right. And I think that this is a very strong card. And if you're playing Criminal Syndicate, I think you're going to want to take this card. And you should plan on using it when you have, you know, you daze someone that's really strong at the end of a turn. Then you can come back and hopefully try to KO them before they get to activate. Stuff like that, I think, is where you're going to want to use this card. And I think it's a really great card. And it's something that you only get playing Criminal Syndicate, but it has a really powerful effect.
Yeah, so, very powerful effect. However, personally, my favorite Criminal Syndicate card is Cruelty.
Okay, yeah. Why is Cruelty your favorite?
So first, what it does is after an allied character damages an enemy character with an attack, during its activation, after the attack is resolved, you pay 2 power, and basically they get to make a free additional attack, and that additional attack is a Mystic range 5, 5 dice attack.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you're not able to modify those dice outside of just getting the additional crit results into the attack roll, which kind of represents that the character isn't actually making an extra attack so much as they're just whatever they have done is twisted the mind of the opponent, which is really cool thematically. But it's also one of the few tactic cards that just gives a free extra attack.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like Cruelty a lot too. And that's the question I have for you, Nate, is if you're playing CS, do you take Cruelty, All According to Plan, and Shadow Organization, or do you leave one of those out?
Personally, Shadow Organization has never made it into my 8. The other 2 usually at least make it into my 8.
Yeah, I think All According to Plan is one that it's such a threat to not have priority if you're expecting to have priority that it has value even when it's not played. You know, like back in the day when Age of Ultron was a thing, having that card, even though you didn't necessarily play it, had value.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that All According to Plan is like that. Now, Cruelty is just straight good. Like, being able to spend 2 power to do a little extra damage onto somebody especially Mystic, like if you're attacking someone like a Wolverine, I mean, that could pay some dividends there.
Yeah, the other thing I really like about it is it's one of the few affiliation-specific cards that can be played by any character.
Right.
So it doesn't have to be Bullseye or Kingpin. This could be Vision playing Cruelty.
That's right. As long as he's in that list, he gets to use it, which I really love.
Yeah.
I really love that. So, yeah, I think that there's some space to explore with Criminal Syndicate, and I think that these cards go a long way into informing what you want to do with them and whatnot. So, yeah, I think that could be pretty fun to do. So now, though, let's rotate and talk back about Kingpin here. And what affiliations do you feel like that he shines in outside of his home affiliation of Criminal Syndicate and his secondary affiliation of Spider Foes?
You know, that's such a good question that I don't have an answer to, that I'll let you go first.
Well, that's the thing. I don't think he particularly shines anywhere else. And it's partly for the reasons that we talked about with his faults, that there's nowhere that really improves his stock. Like, if there was an affiliation that allowed some kind of a move or placement effect as their leadership ability, well, I think that he would feel better in a place like that. But because he has such a hard time, quote unquote, getting there, I feel like that it's hard to play him out of affiliation. And even in Spider Foes, because Spider Foes, especially with what we know about Carnage and Mysterio, it sounds like those two guys are going to kind of take over a little bit of the Spider Foes, and maybe there won't be a spot for Kingpin there. So it's kind of like there's no reason to play him in kind of the big ones, right? Like Avengers doesn't make sense because he only has the one superpower that's already pretty cheap. Well, he only has the one that costs more than one. Yeah. And then Cabal doesn't really make any sense because I guess like you could say, well, Red Skull could teleport him up, which would be helpful. But if you're doing that, you're probably doing that with MODOK anyways.
Yeah, in the other affiliations that he is in, there's just better options for what that affiliation is trying to do already.
Right.
Maybe Storm's X-Men help him a little bit, but that's a stretch, and there's just other characters that synergize better with what that affiliation is wanting to do. So Kingpin is a little bit in this awkward spot. I do think Spider-Foes could become justifiable if AMG is listening. They've heard us talk about multiple times to make a kind of reverse special delivery where Green Goblin gets his own drop-off for in-affiliation Spider-Foe characters.
Yes.
Would be a great help for Kingpin. Get him where he needs to be round one and just let him begin to play the game really well.
Yeah, and that's funny. That's so dependent on a card, but I really do want that card for Green Goblin to be able to take one of his buddies and drop them off. That'd be so great. I know you're listening.
Work for Venom. And that's one of the things that, and I guess we already kind of talked about how Kingpin is already so slow. A lot of the Criminal Syndicate affiliation right now, all these more durable characters, also happen to move slow. MODOK, Crossbones, Kingpin. And so right there already, a lot of your affiliation, in affiliation choices are just lagging a little bit. But that's a side note from earlier. I really don't think that there's too many places that really synergize with Kingpin or that will really help him, and there's not really a lot that he brings to any of these other places because he doesn't really want to be spending power because the only way he's getting it is by taking damage or getting his headbutt off. But really, he's maybe getting one headbutt off turn two.
Maybe
if your opponent plays around it well.
Yeah. No, I think you're exactly right. Like, I could see him maybe in Cyclops X-Men trying to push some power to other people if he has some extra and he hadn't had a chance to use it or something, or I don't know. I think that we're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole by putting him out of affiliation here.
Yeah. No, so he does his best work in his home.
He does.
Makes sense.
And that's okay. Like I will say, like, I don't think that AMG missed the mark or anything on Kingpin per se. I'm not trying to say that, but I do think that he's just one of those characters that's just gonna be best where they are, and that's okay.
And to kind of just accentuate that, right now we are in a game state that really cares about mobile characters, whether that's because they're able to easily flip between the different further away secures like extremist consoles, or because of the catch game that's going on with some of the extracts at the moment, that Kingpin, while he's really able to force your opponent to commit to the secures, because he and his team will do that really well in affiliation, if he's out of affiliation, you don't bring that same threatening presence to the secures.
Mm-hmm. I think that's exactly right. That's exactly right, Nate. So now, with that, let's go over and talk about some questions that we had from our Discord. And they're all kind of goofy, so just be prepared. We've got Mark, the Lord of the Discord, he says, is what is the greatest Christmas movie of all time? And he has three choices here: Home Alone, Die Hard, or Gremlins. Nate, what's your choice?
Probably Die Hard from that list, but come on, let's be real. It's Will Ferrell's Elf.
Oh, that's a good choice, too. Die Hard from that list is definitely, like, it would go Die Hard, Home Alone, Gremlins for me in that order, and Die Hard and Home Alone would be like a 1A, 1B situation because I love Home Alone so much.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Elf is really great, and I don't think it gets the respect it deserves as a Christmas movie.
And the fact that Will Ferrell is even willing to turn down another paycheck and say, like, no, Elf was a masterpiece, we're not going to do sequels.
Which is shocking.
Yeah, right? Like, good on him.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Mont's been absent. He says, how does Wilson Fisk have time for his empire of crime when he's training daily to compete in the cross-district strike bowling championships? And it's because he is a master of not only the criminal network, he is also a master of time management.
Yeah, I mean, how else is he also the mayor of New York City?
Exactly. He clearly has a bowling alley in his office that he just, like, goes over, rolls a casual 300 game in between ordering executions. I mean, that just makes sense.
Yep.
Next up, the Banana Crapshoot says, do you think Kingpin has a strong meme game? I think Kingpin has a meme game that is directed by somebody else. Like, he says, hey, meme person, make me a meme. And they go and make a meme.
Like, time management and stuff also includes he's got underlings to make sure that his time is well spent.
Exactly.
So if he needs a meme guy, you best bet that he will get the best meme guy he can.
That's right. And it's definitely not Bullseye.
No.
So those are the silly questions that we had from our Discord. And if you're interested in being over there in the Discord and having some chit chats and stuff, you can find that at patreon.com/houseparty protocol. And it's only like $1 a month. And you get to come in and hang out, ask questions. And we talk about Crisis Protocol, talk about all this goofy stuff. And yeah, it's a good time. And it's really greatly appreciated. I thank all the patrons so much over there for contributing and just for being just awesome. It's wonderful. And all the suits out there, you're all wonderful. And I do have one announcement, though, and I'm very excited for two things. It's actually two announcements. You ready, Nate? Are you strapped in?
Hit me with it.
All right. So first up, the announcement that I have is Alexa and I from the Morlocks podcast are going to be doing a match where we're kind of breaking the rules. We're going to have a drop-off. Since it's been banned, we're going to bring in drop-off. I'm going to play X-Force, and they're going to play the Thanatophos that they kind of made popular, if you will. And we're going to just have a little battle. It's going to be streamed. It'll be twitch.tv/DarthBalls, and that's balls with a Z, 05. I know. Okay? I know. And I was in high school when I made that name, and you know what? It just stuck. So don't at me. But yeah. So twitch.tv/DarthBalls05, and that is balls with a Z. And that'll be a few weeks from now on, I believe we said April 27th. Let me check. And yeah, so check that out. And then next week, we are finally going to be breaking down the Amazing Spider-Man card that was spoiled during the Mega Extravaganza. So I'm very excited to do that. And I'm going to have a very special guest on for that. It's going to be an interview / Amazing Spider-Man breakdown. So I'm excited for that. And hopefully we get to do some fun giveaway announcements with that as well. So stay tuned there. And the match between Lexa and I will be on April 27th at about 10 in the morning Central Time. This one will start that play. So tune in. It'll also be available on Twitch as one of the backlog videos. So make sure to check that out. Nate, where can people find you?
Guys, as always, I'm over on YouTube at the Gamers Guild. Just plenty of decent Marvel Crisis Protocol content over there, battle reports, character reviews. Currently working my way through all the different threat levels for a tier list as well.
Yeah, you say decent content. I'd say it's pretty good.
Oh, shucks.
I'm going to go with pretty good.
But yeah, no, I've really enjoyed it and am thankful for the support and stuff. So yeah,
great, man. Great. Well, Suits, hit us up on Facebook with all your questions or comments, concerns, all that good stuff. We love talking to you guys over there. Leave us comments on our posts whenever you see them. We like talking there as well. And send us emails at houseparty protocol pod@gmail.com. and party on, Nate.
Party on, Will.
And power down, Suits.